Is busy the new stupid? So I saw this question somewhere on social media and it actually made me take pause. Is busy the new stupid? It's possible that it is. And this concept is just so fascinating to me personally because I feel busy all the time. And it really made me stop and think about what does that mean and what am I doing wrong and how do I need to think about this differently? And so today I'm super grateful and excited to have Jan Lehman on. She is the CEO of CTC Productivity. She's a productivity coach. She helps people who are busy not be stupid, right? And I know that's not her tagline for her business.
I love it.
Doing the intro that way. But Jan is in, like, this is what she thinks about all day, every day. And she helps busy leaders, busy professionals through this. So guess what? She's on here to help us because I knew this was something I needed. And I know it's something that the listeners need. And I do think we need to look at the way we do work differently. So we're super excited to be here today to talk about this topic. And hopefully the title of the podcast is what brought you in to just curiosity around what we were going to talk about. So Jan, thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule to be on here with us today. And I would just love to start with you just giving the listeners you know, a little bit of background on who you are, how you got to be here, and how you got to be a productivity consultant and help people in that space.
Yeah. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for having me. I absolutely love what I do. And so I'm thrilled to kind of share some knowledge and insights with your audience. Kind of thinking through my history, I've always been a process geek. So as I think through my history, going into college, I knew I wanted to be a business major and went in and quickly figured out that anything with like operations and processes and Lean Six Sigma and that stuff was what got me excited. So my schooling really falls into that platform. From there, I moved into working with really large, like Fortune 100 level companies and looking at process improvement. And from there, then working with Kraft Foods. I was ultimately in an expatriate assignment with them. I lived in Stockholm, Sweden. I had about 60 employees over the Scandinavian countries. And it was all about, again, leveraging technology for process improvement. So it's kind of been my whole history. I then was very fortunate and had the opportunity to stay home when I had my babies and then decided to start my own gig when I was going back to work. And what I decided is I really wanted to focus on working with individuals and helping them be more effective in what they do. And I love that your podcast is about leveraging strengths because that's been a big area of focus for me. I spent a lot of time with people saying, you know what, you got to know what your quirks are. You got to know what's going to work for you. Not everything is cookie cutter. And so it's really a matter of understanding the individual and then what changes can we make to help you be more efficient, more effective. And usually it starts with the person and then we go to looking at how do we make the team more effective and efficient and then the whole organization. And I will tell you my focus as of late has been actually helping my customers be effective with their interfacing businesses, their suppliers and their customers. So looking at the processes even outside of the four walls of their organization. So anyway, but I'm just super excited to be here. I totally support your approach to what you're talking about.
Well, thank you. And so on that note, we can't let anybody be on here without them telling us what one of their superpowers is. I think you kind of described one of them already, but what do you think is a superpower or a strength that you have and how you use it in your business?
So I think my superpower is getting in and quickly identifying the root of the problem and the capacity of the person. So I've surprised a lot of people. I can vividly remember coming in and working with very strategic thinking individuals. So, you know, in the EOS world, more like the visionaries. And I think they were nervous to work with me because they thought I would make them be really logical, process-oriented people. And that's not what I'm about. I'm about maximizing their strengths, maximizing their talent. So, I think my superpower is pretty honing in on that pretty quick and then customizing my recommendations to what that person is truly capable of doing and is going to really ignite them and make them really really successful given their individual strengths.
I love that. That's what we're all about, is that maximization. And it's different for everybody. And I think that's what makes it great, but it's also what really makes it hard. Because as we were talking about earlier before we got on, is we compare ourselves, right? We're in this comparison world because everything's in front of us all of the time. And what works for someone else, we assume, right, should work for us. And when it doesn't, we feel like something's wrong with us. And so I love the fact that you're really talking about customization, right, or personalization. And it's got to be different because it's got to fit for what your strengths are and how you operate, how your brain works. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important. And any coach and anybody that you bring in to help make you better is they've got to not make you like them or mm-hmm. a cookie cutter approach. They've got to personalize it for you to make it really stick.
Yeah, Jamie, can I interject on that comment? Just because it's a really good point. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that happens in organizations, businesses today, is that the person that's managing someone assumes they work the way they work. And that's a huge gap. And where I spend a lot of time with emerging leaders, individuals that have just stepped up into management roles, helping them understand we all are so drastically different. We process differently. We learn differently, everything. And so those assumptions that are made often by others really cause significant problems. And that all ties back to productivity and employee engagement, really. The person's not going to be happy if they don't feel fully supported and understood.
Totally agree. So I want to get to the topic, the busy is busy, the new stupid kind of approach here. And this is kind of words that you're seeing out there where people are looking at this and saying, you know, I relate it back to, this is why it hit home for me, is because I'm always like, people are like, how are you? And I'm like, oh, busy, but good. You know,
yeah.
always my answer. And I am, right? 4 kids in sports and a business I'm running and travel, and I am busy.
Yeah.
But that word, it's just like, I think people have gotten so like, what does that mean, first off? And is that really how I want to be describing myself to people? Even if that's what it feels like some days, mm-hmm. like, what am I doing to make it not feel like that? I think was my realization. So I want your perspective, because this is your world, mm-hmm. on your professional journey, how you see this with the leaders you work with and how you help them kind of get unstuck from this life of busy.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I use those same words. And, you know, the joke I always say is, you know, it makes me laugh that, you know, an individual worker can say to their boss, you know, oh, I didn't get to that project because I had, you know, 500 emails I needed to return today, or, you know, something. And it's like, I don't care how many emails you returned unless those, you know, top three emails were the most important thing you did that day. But people have a lot of excuses. There's a lot of procrastination that's sort of buried because people will just talk about how busy they are, and management will just say, oh, yes, of course, if you had that many emails. So it's become this sort of vicious cycle and really kind of a form of procrastination. So what I always tell people is I'm a productivity consultant, and I'm not trying to make you busy. I'm trying to make sure that, you know, the whole rule of, you know, 20% of your time will give the 80% bang for the buck. Right? Like 20% of what you do is going to deliver so much of the value of what you can do, deliver your talent, deliver, you know, whatever your service or product is. And so the excuse of just being busy doesn't cut it, quite honestly. And so a lot of times the conversations often start with me with people struggling with email. Because email is driving a lot of people's day. And email is a highly reactionary thing. Honestly, when you're responding to email, you're typically helping other people be productive. You will rationalize that you needed to get back to that person at some point. But in reality, if your most important thing was to work on your strategic plan, then you really weren't productive, even if you responded to 50 emails that day. So you're spot on that people use busyness. Sometimes I think it's a blatant excuse. Sometimes I don't think they see it as an excuse. They just get caught up in email because it's so easy.
Yeah, maybe it's just that it feels like I check something off of the list, right? Versus this huge looming thing. And I get caught in that as if I don't have, get distracted with email, you don't have that focused energy to do the bigger stuff, which is the more important, like you said, the impactful stuff. when you, the companies you work for, you know, and work with, you're in a lot of big organizations. How do you see this has changed, gotten better or worse over the last 10 to 15 years, right? And company cultures and that feeling of work and the amount of hours people are working and how they're connected. Do you think this busyness has gotten worse, and what's the reason behind it in the workforce?
Yeah, busyness has gotten worse. Part of it is the information that's coming at us is doubling about every 12 to 18 months. So it really truly is this fire hose of information. And so we spend a lot of time teaching our clients to be very decisive and to accept the fact that there's a large percentage of stuff that's going to come through email or in front of them, they just have to say no to. So it's a whole other skill set right now, not just to be like, not just to survive, but obviously then to be successful. And so there's a mind shift there. I think one of the great things that has happened is this huge focus on employee engagement and also the tight job market, because finally companies are having to say, okay, hold on, the customer is no longer the top, our main focus. The employee needs to be equal to that. And when you really drill down into what's employee engagement, part of it is company picnics and getting to know each other and all that. But a big part is supporting the employee and spending time developing them, giving them the right tools and resources. And that's all productivity. So it's been a fabulous shift, because now I finally have senior leaders willing to listen to the importance of looking at productivity under the guise of helping their employees be happy and not losing this top talent in this war on talent market we're in right now.
Yeah, and that's, I love that shift is happening, because I remember my corporate days and it would be like a competition for who worked how many hours last week, right? It'd be like, oh, I put in 70 hours last week. It's crazy. And it was like a badge of honor. Right. Yeah. And I think people have just gotten to the point where I'm hoping that's no longer a badge of honor, because now I look at that and go, man, what are you doing for 70 hours?
Yeah.
Like you're clearly not working smart. You know, it makes you kind of look at it, I think, differently, which is good. And I'm glad to hear that the companies are starting to realize that, and that while we're creating the emails and, you know, we're creating the problem, I think leaders and the leaders that are listening also have the solution, and that they can help their employees and the people in their organizations find that right level, right? I hate to use the word balance, because I think it's all choice and where they spend their time, but it helped them being able to say no and put limits in place, right? And how much we're going to work and what's acceptable, and when I work that hard, right, what comes back to me in terms of engagement and am I doing really valuable work? How do you help people? Like, what's a good way for our listeners to diagnose, you know, if they're in this busy state, right? And how they realize it first, because I think awareness is the first step. And then, you know, what's a tip to kind of advice to help them get out of it?
So I would say if they feel at the end of the day that they didn't get their most important work done, is a good sign that they need some help. If they feel their stress level is really high, they're recognizing they're working long hours, any of those things are indications that something's probably not working well for them. It could be fine-tuned. My advice kind of starts around time management, making sure they're doing good planning, kind of the simple stuff you'd expect, right? Like, do you know the top three things you're supposed to work on before you pick up your cell phone and look at the email icon first thing in the morning? Because again, email will derail the day and take people down a path, because it's in your face. It's easy to just go off of your email versus what might be your plan on the most impactful thing you can do for the day. So almost always, I'd say 95% of our clients need help with sort of time management and planning to even just say, okay, here's the three things I need to do. And then how do I structure my day in a way to leverage my most focused time of day when, you know, my energy is high, I can really do my best work, and save that for your most difficult work, the work you procrastinate, anything where you really kind of need the high level of energy, and then save email for the time of day when you're kind of brain dead. And, you know, granted, there are some emails that come through that are mini projects, but a lot of email, you know, we can do when we're fairly tired. So often the advice is really start with looking at your planning and your time management. And then it typically evolves into, like, what we tell people is if I work with you and make you a really good time manager and help you understand how to manage email effectively, and then you still have too much work, then we go into that you're not maybe being decisive and saying a no to enough stuff, and or you're not effectively delegating that responsibility to somebody else. But email always seems to be the area where we get brought in, because it's sort of the clue that something's not working.
And I love that idea of, I had somebody give me this advice, because my list is never, right? I mean, it's a mile long of the things I should do, I could do. And I think we all have that. And getting to the point where it's every day, these are the three things I need to get done, and I need to be okay if just those three get done, and that's success for today. And then I need to, you know, I need a break. And and figuring out what those top three is, and I think it is the number three, is important, because otherwise that list is never going to, every time it gets short, you know, 10 minutes later, I've added seven more things to it. So it's never going to be done. And I think that's also where we get in the spiral of never shutting it off and never being able to take a break from it, because we're trying to get the list done.
Yeah, you're totally right. I'm an advocate of like two separate to-do lists. There's the stuff that you really have to get done, or you're going to get in trouble. And then there's the stuff I would love to get to if I had time. Because you need to get it out of your head. You need to get the ideas and thoughts out of your head, or your RAM is constantly going, don't forget that, don't forget that. But if you lob it all into one list, it is exactly like you said. It's very overwhelming. You're never going to feel like you see progress. And so separating kind of the high important things from the kind of wish list stuff is really important for your mental to-dos, for your paper to-dos, all the different ways that you get tasks coming at you.
And how do you, so you mentioned this concept of saying no. Do you, what's your advice? We did a whole podcast, or I did a whole podcast on this earlier last year, because I think this is just, you know, the fact that no is a complete sentence, and it's not just to your boss, right? Sometimes it's across, it's people that want you to be on the board or the nonprofit, or, you know, donate your time, or do this or that. And what advice do you give people in that space too? Because I think it goes along with this. Is we oftentimes are the root of our own issues, is we say yes to everybody because we're trying to please everybody. Mm-hmm. What advice do you give people on how to start tackling that issue?
Yeah. So again, this is where I go back, I think, to my superpower, is I love to get in there and figure out why they're not saying no. And oftentimes it can be because they're a super nice person. They're highly empathetic. So, you know, often I'll find that I'm working with a manager that is more like maybe 80% doer or 20% manager. And it's, you know, and it comes back that they're like, oh, but my team is so overworked, and so I'm going to do those things for them. And they don't realize, you know, the importance of them focusing the manager on more strategic things that could help, you know, not just one person, but an entire department. And so I like to get in there and find out why is it they're not saying no, and then help them change their mindset into realizing the importance of saying no, not just for themselves, but for maybe the broader organization. And just it really shift their mindset to help them feel more comfortable saying no. But there's a lot of reasons people don't say no. It's interesting. I have a psychology minor. I think I spend half my time on that side with my clients. It's interesting.
I know I always said in business that having a psych degree probably would have helped me more than a business degree some days, it feels like. But and I think this is interesting, because a lot of the work that we do with our leaders too is helping them figure out what to delegate, and not just so they're less busy, but so they can elevate people around them into other things, right? And I think as you hit the nail on the head, is as leaders, especially if we're empathetic and we're trying to protect our people, and we don't want our team to burn out, we take it all on. But that's not necessarily the right thing, because then we're burnt out and we're not showing up in the right way, and we don't give them the opportunity to step into something new, right? Mm-hmm. A new opportunity. So I think it's just a good reminder for everybody that that's also a good idea, is to be thinking about what things you can delegate onto other people around you and help them grow.
Well, and tying it back to your overarching theme for your podcast, it's leveraging their strengths. You know, it's making that person feel like they are contributing to the max they can based on their talents, and that you're investing in their talents. And I totally agree. I always say that my process with my clients is always look at eliminate first. which is, again, eliminating saying no to things that really you or your entire team shouldn't be doing. And then you'll look to automation next, no question. There's tons of free technology out there that can automate things. And then next is looking at delegation. And again, just like you said, Jamie, it's changing the mindset. It's not that you're dumping this on somebody. It's that you're investing in them and you're going to take the time to teach them how to do it right so that ultimately they win and you win and the organization wins.
And they might be better at it than you.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that's
a lot of times. Totally that's right. What I realize, even with my team, is they're better at it than I am. So why am I holding on to it?
Totally. And it could be that they're better at it first, and also just that they might have the time to do it right? Because you don't. And so they'll give it the care that it needs. Yep.
That's fantastic. So Jan, any other just life lessons, words of wisdom, you know, things that you see that, you know, that leaders do that might just help our listeners be more present, less busy, more productive?
Well, I think the thing I've learned over time is that it takes a progressive leader to change the culture to be a culture of productivity. And so I can fairly quickly spot that when a leader just doesn't, they're not optimistic, they're not bullish, they don't see, you know, where the organization can go if they invest in productivity, and that's such a disappointment. You know, I just feel badly for a lot of the employees. But my clients who have done like amazing transformations of the company have been the ones that are willing to invest and just, you know, see the opportunity. So I don't really know how we get people to think differently, to think more progressively, but it's a pattern I notice. Because everything I do is about behavioral change. So I'm going to give you a ton of ideas, but if you don't believe that it's going to make a difference and you're not open to the ideas and coaching, nothing's going to happen. So I'm not sure if that answers your question exactly, Jamie, but it's just something I see. It's important to, when you're looking for a company to work for, you want progressive leaders that are willing to invest in their people. So they can, make significant change.
Yeah. And I just read this quote that I loved. It was just about that strong cultures aren't self-sustaining, right? Engaged cultures aren't self-sustaining, meaning you do a couple things and it sustains you. Is you've got to work at it.
Yeah.
Right? You have to constantly be focused on these types of things. And you speak about this, I speak about this a lot too. And in helping leaders understand that we're not checking the box when it comes to engagement or culture, right? It's something we need to be living and breathing and thinking about every day, mm-hmm. and supporting our team. And I love that message because it's important for us to figure out how we weave this into just what we naturally do every day. Mm-hmm. Versus it needing to be a task or an event, right? Or some big project that we need to do, that we've got to figure out how to incorporate it into the day-to-day.
And that's what I always tell people. Like the next time you find, you know, you get a meeting canceled on your calendar, don't do an hour's worth of email. Go and think about how can I be more productive, more effective? You know, take the time to look at what should I be eliminating? What should I automate? What should I delegate? Because that's going to have just exponential benefits down the road versus just responding to like the 10 emails in the hour. So it's a matter of getting off this crazy, you know, hamster wheel of busyness and thinking, you know what, there's got to be a better way and I'm going to figure it out now. Because it's going to be a lifelong habit for the rest of your career. And it spills over into your home life as well. The more you understand how to be a time manager, how to say no, how to delegate to your children, all of that, it's exact same model in the home as it is at work.
And it's a great point. And I think it's that the clarity breaks are just slowing your brain down enough to actually have some of these brilliant moments, because your subconscious has the answers to a lot of the problems, but we don't slow down to allow them to kind of come to the forefront in our brains. And also putting less importance on checking email and checking the box and doing those little tasks, like you said, that you can do with less brain power later, mm-hmm. is I think that makes us feel like, okay, I got something done today when I'm, you know, it just feels like there's so much going on. But mm-hmm. the something done actually is that deep thinking, right? That time away from email, and that we need to put more emphasis on that and realize that is a value as well.
Yes. Yep. Well said. That.
So Jan, I know our listeners are going to want to know, right? Because I guarantee all of them are like, okay, I'm in this. This is where I'm stuck, right? In this busy. How can they find out more about you, about what you do, how you can help their businesses or them individually?
Yeah. So, well, my company name is CTC, which stands for Circle the Customer. So CTC Productivity. And so our website is ctcproductivity.com. So you can go there and contact us through there. And I did want to point out, we actually do home organizing in addition to productivity consulting in businesses. So my employees do the home organizing, and we find, because many of our clients are stressed out before they even get to work. So Circle of Customer is about really providing a holistic solution for our clients in every aspect of their life to be really just efficient and productive. So our phone number is 651-600-8382. And again, my name is Jan Lehman.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jan, for being here. And we'll make sure and include all of that information in the podcast notes for everybody so that you can easily find that if you want to connect with Jan. I hope this resonated with you. And Jan, thank you for sharing your wisdom. You know, you do this and you shared a ton of tips and just tricks and things I know you share with your clients. So I appreciate you coming on and doing that. And for our listeners, you know, the whole point of this podcast is to figure out today or this week, what's that thing that's got you stuck, and to get you unstuck and moving again. And so we bring these topics on because this might be the thing that you had the aha moment and this is what's keeping you stuck, and we want to keep you moving. And so we're hoping that these topics are really resonating with you. If they are, please make sure and subscribe if you haven't already so you get the latest and greatest every time a new podcast is launched. And make sure and leave us ratings and reviews because that helps us understand what topics are really resonating, what topics are helping you, so that we can bring more people like Jan and more topics like this to the podcast to continue to provide value. And as always, we're grateful that you're here, and we want to make sure that every week we are focusing on our strengths to help us get better and to help us get to that next level of success, whatever that level looks like for you. So thanks everyone for being here.